Okay, thank you, Kevin. This morning I want to entitle the message, Clarify the Vision. And it's going to be a little different than a normal message. However, if you're interested, you're visiting this morning and you're interested in what our theme is, you're going to figure that out as I talk about clarifying the vision and where we're headed. I think there's a need for that right now. The last couple of weeks, there's been various things. It's actually six or seven different things that have made me feel that there's a need just to clarify where we're going. I think depending on the type of thinker you are, it's not a right or wrong, but I think depending on the type of thinker you are and the manner in which you process things, you can possibly be frustrated in a situation where maybe somebody else isn't, and it just has to do with some or more slow warmers to things. And I just felt like this is a Sunday when I need to kind of clarify where we're going, and if I understand my role correctly as director of Chapel Ministries Outreach or senior pastor, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter really the title, but I think my role is, one of my roles is to be a visionary, and that is a gift that God has given me as far as that comes natural. God has, from early in my call to the ministry through the 30 years of pastoring, God has given me vision and often things that were more cutting edge kind of things. I've been amazed, I won't go through it, but I've been amazed over the years the number of things that God inspired us to do, even back in the 80s, singspirations and gospel concerts that caught on, and other churches began doing them. We were told in Chicago that there was not a ministry anywhere, and we researched this a lot because we wanted to hook up with somebody that was experienced. We were told there was not a ministry in Chicago that reached out to the street girls in the entire city of Chicago when we went there at first, and God gave us that vision. And since then, there are a lot of ministries that do that. And we're not up here to take the credit for that. I'm just simply saying I think it's good to find your function in the kingdom. And we have had a role of being a visionary and maybe breaking some new ground. That doesn't come easy. Breaking new ground isn't easy. It's not always easily accepted. People as a rule don't want to change. That's just something about all of us. It's not easy to change. And so sometimes doing something new creates anxieties, creates fears, apprehensions. And it's kind of been a bumpy ride the last couple of years, just to be honest. We've had some incredible experiences in ministry over the years. I felt like the year of my leukemia, be 8 years in November, but the year of my leukemia, I felt we had a visitation from the Lord in our congregation. At that time, of course, we were meeting over at the Skinner Chapel location. And I believe with all of my heart that the year following that, we had a visitation from the Lord. And looking back on it, it's even clearer to me. Life's lived forward, understood backwards. And looking back on that, it's even more clear than before that we had some unusual visits from God during that time period. And I think it's because there was an openness in our congregation. There's a sense in which we all went through that disease together. You functioned beautifully as a church. You prayed for me, and God miraculously touched me in that whole situation, for which I'm deeply grateful and earnest about using the years ahead for His glory. He said He would heal me and add 15 years to my life. And so it's very important to me that my vision is on track. It's very important to me that where we're going is on track. I don't want to use up energy being over here, left of center, right of center. I don't want to be doing that. I want to be doing God's will and what He wants us to do. So there has been kind of a bumpy ride the last couple of years. Early in 2011, I announced, I think at the end of January, that I was stepping down as senior pastor at Skinner Chapel. And I didn't fully understand that myself at the time. But I know without a doubt, in the bedroom alone, I actually was kind of holed up, not feeling well for 3 days. And God did that to bring me to prayer on that particular issue. And God clearly spoke to me that I was to step down. To be perfectly honest, that isn't something I would have done. The church was going well. Honestly, truthfully, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that church would have been every pastor's dream. I mean, you take such good care of Pam and I, and when we were younger, you know, sometimes we pastored poor congregations and kind of struggled to get by. You've just lavished God's love on us the last number of years. My goodness, who ever heard of a pastor that got 6 weeks vacation? You know, come on. You just watched out for us wonderfully, and God was using the church, and God had used the deep valley of my leukemia, I think, to bring many closer to God. I felt he had taken me to a new level. I felt good about the messages I was giving. Honestly, I did. I felt very strong in preaching during that time. Don't say that in a boastful way, but not going to apologize telling the truth either. So it wouldn't have been something that, oh, that would be my idea. It's time to move on. Not at all. I thought I would be there at that location for the rest of my life. Bought a cemetery plot in the cemetery just south of the church. So it wasn't something that I saw coming, but I felt God spoke to me very clearly. And then even when I questioned it, I felt like he said, are you going to go in blind faith and obedience and not worry what anybody says, what anybody thinks? Are you going to obey me, only to realize that God was taking me there to a new level as well, to not have to have people's applause, not that everyone was against it, but not to have to have people's applause, not to have to have the favor and affirmation of people, but rather to listen very closely. And if I can put a little parenthesis here, may I say to you that you have to come to that place in your Christian walk where you don't have to have everybody's affirmation. God's going to speak to you sometimes, and he's going to tell you something, and not everybody's going to agree with you. God's going to tell you sometimes that you need to, you know, you need to stay with your family or stay with your husband, and everybody else is telling you you're supposed to leave. We can go lots of directions with this morning. So everybody can be telling you should do this, you should do that, and you feel clearly that God said to your heart. Now, last week I spoke on being willing to take instruction, and we do have an open ear to people who we know walk in the Spirit, and we're not I and I only know, but you have to be at peace too and know in your heart when God has spoken to you, and you understand the difference in that. I'm sure we don't need to go into that this morning. But how important it is that we follow God's voice, and it won't necessarily be popular. And it wasn't with everyone. It wasn't popular. In fact, to be perfectly honest, it shocked me. We had folks, no bad feelings of any kind, if it died while preaching this morning. No bad feelings of anybody. But there had been folks who, over the years, have had tremendous confidence in our decisions, and I was just surprised that some, you know, not bad spirit, but just that they didn't see it. But God very clearly spoke to me about that. It wasn't an easy decision. But it's been a little bumpy. I went to Colorado after a step down, and my son took the church. And now looking back, that makes so much sense, because I believe that Kevin's had a call to missions for years. You know, we sort through things when we're young, and I know there was a time I thought I'd be a traveling evangelist, and like my dad, and then there was a time Dad thought I should be a missionary and fill his shoes, and then there was a time I thought we were just going to do gospel music and travel around, and maybe I would preach occasionally, and maybe I was going to pastor, or and so, you know, you're sorting that out when you're young, and God will put you in situations to help clarify your vision. And help you know what you should do. And I don't know of too many young people that when they graduate from high school, their goal is to go to Africa. And if you remember at Kevin's graduation, when we were having people were asking, you know, what can we get for Kevin? He said, put more toward my trip. I want to go to Africa. And he went for 9 months. Not 9 weeks. He went 9 months to Africa. And something was born in him. He changed when he came back. Some of you remember that. He had been somewhat timid, backward, kind of stayed in the shadows. Something changed in him when he went to Africa. And I recognized that God had done something and that probably wasn't finished. But I didn't know what that means. And he took the church when I stepped down. And I thought, you know, the mission field maybe is here. But it didn't shock me. Then after pastoring a while and learning and developing, God uses all things in our life to develop, and kind of makes sense, I guess, to me that after a visitation there at Skinner and a highlight there at Skinner, then there would be a time of testing and trial. When I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. There was kind of a purging time and a time of development as Kevin as a leader. And those of us who had a visitation, God uses all of us. Iron sharpens iron. And we got to think different than business, you know. The kingdom is different. God doesn't do things always the way we think that he will. And so it didn't surprise me after a year and a half of Kevin pastoring that he had this tug on his heart for missions, because I knew that had a core. But I myself, during that time, some wrestling with, Lord, I know you've given me a new season. You've told me I'm to enter a new season. And I went to Colorado that summer, and many of you remember that, and spent nearly a month out west, took some specific time at a cabin in the mountains alone to fast and pray, and felt that God assured me that he was bringing me into a new season. Came back a little unsure how all that fits. Birthing is a process, and you'll glean good from this. So don't tune me out if you think, well, the pastor's just sharing some future plans. I came a bad Sunday. No, hang with it. You'll get something from this. You'll learn some principles through what God has taught me. Birthing is a process. Birthing a new vision. In the kingdom, there's definitely the process of birthing, where God brings something to you. In your worship of him, in your closeness with him, in your intimacy with him, comes conception. Pastor, I never really felt like I birthed anything. Pastor, I feel like I never have a baby in the kingdom. I think that just happens to some people. I'd like to tell you that you have to have intimacy in order to conceive. And part of the problem with lack of conception in the American church is lack of intimacy with God and worship. There's superficial worship, but I'm talking about individual worship. Daddy used to get up in front of a crowd. I think of him so often while preaching, and he would say, "You do not come to church to worship." He'd just walk away and quiet for a minute. People looking at him. I mean, after all, the old hymnal said praise and worship on the front. I mean, on the front of the bulletin, it used to say worship service. Daddy used to say, "You do not come to church to worship." He said, "You come to church to worship together. If you really know the Lord, you've been worshiping all week. If you really know the Lord, you've got a personal walk with him, and there's a daily worship to him. Then there's the dynamics of 100, 150 people coming together, and they all worship together out of a deep love that comes from their daily walk, and man, you feel something. And a stranger comes in who's never been here before and isn't a Christian and says, "Man, I feel something in here. This feels good." Because he's in the presence, she's in the presence of a number of people who truly do love the Lord. And it's not just a show in church, it's a personal walk. In intimacy with God comes conception, and God called me to another level of intimacy, and when I went away, I found that God, if you spend time with him, some amazing things would happen within you, and there is conception. And then that burden develops, that child develops. But folks, may I suggest to you then, or present to you as fact, not suggest to you, that there is labor and there is delivery, and that birthing can be painful. We've gone through some pains the last couple of years, some adjustments, some rethinking, and I don't think for one minute we've done every single thing right. One thing that I don't know that we could have done any different under all the circumstances, and of course I'm in a position where I know all the circumstances. But one thing that I hated so badly is that we needed, at least for a while, to close the rescue resort. We didn't have the attendance we'd had in the past. Offerings dropped to about a third. A lot of people don't know that. The financial report was on the bulletin board. We don't hide those things, but a lot of people aren't trust us and don't look at that, and that's fine. But we had to close the rescue resort, and the rescue resort had been birthed from vision. After the leukemia, God spoke to me from Luke chapter 8 and 9, where Jesus, after he healed the woman with the issue of blood, leukemia, an issue of blood, the next thing that happened is that he went to the home of Jairus, whose daughter had died, and he gave life back to a young girl. And God spoke to me after the leukemia. I said, Lord, you added 15 years to my life. There's a reason for this. What am I to do next? And I came back from my prayer walk, and I opened my Bible, and it fell open to Luke 8, and God spoke to me very clearly and said, after the issue of blood came, giving life back to young girls. And we were open for 3 years up there at Dan Goddard's residence, and we got to use that for trading work and didn't have to pay anything for the first year and a half. And we had 16 girls go through our program. That was born out of vision that after 30 years of ministry in this community, there's lots of emergency facilities, but where you can go 4 or 5 days and then you're back out in your apartment complex or back out in your drug-infested community, and you're maybe there for 2 weeks at Charter Beacon in Fort Wayne, and they do good things, but then you're back out. And I realized there has to be a place for people to start over and the people to have some time. And so we suggested girls come for a minimum of 3 months, but they could stay up to a year. So that's some doing. With all their issues of probation and going to court and children to see, and that's not an easy thing. And you pitched in, and many did, and we are deeply grateful. Many of you are here that helped with that, but we're deeply grateful too for the help from Mike and Marilyn Rao. I've always loved Mike and Marilyn, and they did an awesome job in helping. And I hated it that due to funds and the need to move and a number of circumstances, we just had to close down for a little bit. We were able. Our board was gracious, and we were able to pay Marilyn in full for 5 additional months after we closed. And I was grateful for that and thought it was the right thing to do. But that's, you know, there's things you look back and you think, boy, you know, I wish this could have been smoother. All I know is I don't know all the answers to that. I know that we diligently seek God, and I know that we're human and we don't do everything perfect. But I know that birthing is painful, and there's some changes, and there's some reevaluation. And sometimes we can think, well, because we're business mindset, which doesn't fit the kingdom, we think that, well, you're just supposed to continue to do this, and your graphs and charts are supposed to get deeper with more arrows and more evidence that you're succeeding, whatever that means, in the business world. Sometimes God will pull the plug on something just because you need to evaluate it. Sometimes God will pull the plug on something just because you need to evaluate it. You just need to stop and look at it and upgrade some things and redo some things and sort and maybe weed it a little bit. And sometimes he does that. And I wish we could kingdom think. And some can, but that, to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of things. I love the ministry. There's not too many things in the ministry that I would say. It's a privilege to be a minister, so I don't mean to say this negative. There are a few things that are frustrating, but one is frustrating to me is a lot of American churchgoers have trouble with kingdom thinking. And that's frustrating. Because God does things. Kevin used to call it the upside-down kingdom. God does things in a different way. Sometimes God will pull the plug on something just because he wants you to evaluate it. He wants to upgrade what you're doing so that you can do it twice as good. But he knows you've got to have a few months away from it in order to do that. Well, circumstances forced us in that. So there were things along the way where there were bumps. And I wanted to mention that because that was a ministry that's close to our heart. And talk about it more in a minute as far as the future. Kevin and Abby and the development that they had in the year and a half that they took the church. You know, I had said to you on the Sunday I stepped down that I believed the new ministry was attached. Do you remember me saying that? God gave me that. I didn't even know what it meant. I said, I believe that the new ministry, Pam and I are to birth, is attached to this. But I didn't know how. I said that. It's on CDs. Well, I didn't know how that would turn out. But we had looked at this building 2 years before, and I had brought the Skinner Chapel board over here, and we all knelt right over here. You remember, Brian? You were here? We all knelt here in a dark building with junk everywhere, and we felt like there was something here for us. 2 years before that, actually, that would be about 4 years now, but that we came over here. And some of you that are dear to me, I remember one individual who's meant a lot to me over the years in the ministry came to me and said, I believe that there's something for us over there. You know who you are that said that to me. And we didn't know what that meant. But it's a process. It's a process. May I suggest to you that in your own personal walk, it's a process. There's things you might be frustrated with right now. There might be things in your own walk with the Lord right now that don't make a whole lot of sense to you. Hang with it. God will open it up. Daddy used to tell the story of the man standing in the department store window in front of a huge window in New York City, and he had an easel with a doing a painting, and he was just putting blues and whites and more blues and whites and whites and blues and a little bit over here of a lighter blue and then a darker blue. And he was just going to town, and people were gathering around him looking at each other going, who is this guy? The world's going on. And others seeing a crowd draws a crowd. Others came around. I've heard Daddy tell this over and over. And they watched him as he hurriedly, and then he'd stand back and look at it for a minute, and then he would get into the paint, and he would do some more, and it just looked like a lot of mess. And then he stopped, and he'd worked on this for quite some time, and he stopped, and he set the brush down like this and turned and smiled to everybody. Like, isn't that beautiful? And everybody was looking at it like, what is it? And he went over to it, and he picked it up, and he turned it over. And he had painted a beautiful picture of Niagara Falls upside down. And when they turned it over, they're like, oh my goodness, that is something. I don't know where Daddy got that story, but that's an awesome picture of the Christian life. God will be doing some stuff, and you're like, man, will you quit jerking me every direction? And sometimes you folks probably feel that way with me as well. Will you quit jerking me 100 directions? But when God's done with it, he turns it over, and we go, okay. Daddy used to say, life lived forward and understood backwards. We live our life and look back, and we begin to put things into perspective, and we say, ah, that puzzle did fit together. A lot of directions I could go with that. I need to stay on track. But that year and a half for Kevin's future and Abby's future, I think it's neat that God would have us participate in development. I've been saying for years we're ascending church. I don't know if anybody believed me or not. But I've been saying for years we were ascending church. It seems like we get somebody kind of going, helping, they leave. But I think that, well, I hadn't planned on sharing this. Chapel Hill, where I pastored in Peru, which is now Zion Chapel. Rod, who's pastor there, Carell, some of you know him. He was my assistant pastor for 15 years. And when we were up there, we had a packed out house and troubled people. My vision's always been troubled people. Those songs, Lead Me to the Cross, those this morning fit the vision. That's been our vision, helping troubled people. I said to my mom one time, my elderly mother who's gone to be with the Lord, I said, Mom, I said, I get frustrated. These other pastors that I'm with in the denomination I was with at the time, I said, you know, seems like the church kind of builds and they've got the same people. Seems like I always have a revolving crowd. My mom looked me straight in the eye. You know what she said? She said, I've noticed that, and I think it's supposed to be that way. I didn't expect that. I said, really? You know, I figured, you know, she'd do it gently. Maybe she's going to tell me, well, the reason you have it is this and this and this. You know, if you weren't so hard-headed, you know. I didn't know what she would say. She said, I believe it's supposed to be that way. She said, you have a unique place in the kingdom of sparking something in people for the lost. And she said, I've noticed people will come along and maybe they'll be with you 6 months. Maybe they'll be with you a couple of years. Now, she said, now God's brought in some people that have hung with you over the long haul because you needed that support. But she said, I think you'll always have a revolving ministry because I think God lets people feel something they haven't felt before about passion for the lost that's been lost in America today. Do I have to convince you that a lot of people are playing church this morning? Open altar's a foreign concept. Bringing a new person to Christ that's down and out is a foreign concept. They haven't seen anybody saved for 5 years. I'm not being smart, Alec. That's the truth across America. We've had several people radically saved. I'm not saying that boastful. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm the weakest of all. You know how weak I was? It's scary to death. We've had a number of people radically saved. I'm looking at a couple of them just in the last few months. Some people go 5-10 years in a church before they see a conversion. But Mom said, you got something unique that God has given you that sparks something in people, and often then he'll take them other places. Now, sometimes people leave because they're upset or they don't like the church. Or I realize those things happen, so I don't think this is a big justification. I don't know all those things. Sometimes there's other reasons people leave. But I do believe, and God has brought me back to that a number of times, that Mom said that. Recognize your place in the kingdom. So I've not gotten too excited about it since. I thought, okay, somebody's going to move along. When Kevin and I first started working together, I thought, well, this is going to be cool. The rest of our life, Kevin and I will probably work together in this community, and then boom, he's going to go to Haiti. But life's lived forward and understood backwards. And I got remembering about his call to Africa, and I got or his call to go on that missions trip, and realizing that God was using us to help develop he and his wife. And Kevin said to me just a few days ago, he said, there's no way in 2011 I would have been ready to take a step like this. But by being at the church there for a year and a half and learning and going through some hard things and learning some things the hard way and some relational stuff that didn't go real well, he said, I feel like I'm more ready. Hey, we want to be doing God's will. It may not always be the business plan. Are you okay with that? We want to be kingdom-minded. I'm sure we've made some mistakes. But I believe, and I have written here, I want to say loud and clear this morning that I believe we're in the center of God's will, what we're doing. I do. I believe we're in the center of God's will, what we're doing. And I believe that God has led us in what we're doing. Yes, there's the human element. I don't think for one minute that we've done everything perfect. But I do believe that we're in the center of God's will. And I have written here, childbirth is not without ups and downs and complications and rough spots. And then I have, don't take yourself too serious. I take myself too serious. You're going to make some mistakes. Don't take yourself so serious. It's not the end of the world. God isn't up there saying, "Up, I had a big vision for you, but you handled this wrong and handled that wrong. Looks like you flunked the test. We're not going to have you go on with this." No, he walks you back through it and gives you another chance. Maybe take a little longer. I know some things over the last couple of years in my wrestling and birthing. You know, I look back and there's some things I wish I would have done different. But at the time, I was sincerely trying my best. That's all God wants from you, too. Don't take yourself so serious. He who's made no mistakes hasn't tried much of anything. And especially if you're going to be a courageous Christian and an out-in-front, cutting-edge person that's not afraid to go up to that lost person at the factory, that's not afraid to invite that new neighbor over for coffee and do some, you're going to make some mistakes. You might flub the conversation. God's bigger than that. Don't take yourself so serious. God can work. What he wants is a willing, courageous heart. You with me? But because we've bought into the idea that we have to do everything perfect, we spend half of our life not doing much of anything because we're so afraid we're going to make a mistake. I have not been afraid to make a mistake. I can tell you that. That's one thing. I'm sure I've had fear. I've had fear in a lot of things, but I've not been a guy that's afraid to make a mistake. I've said to people when we first formed this organization, what should we do? I said, let's dive. Let's dive. Now, I'm not suggesting for one minute that, and most of you know me, so there's some things I'm assuming you understand, that, you know, we do things without thought, we're ruthless, you know, people give and sacrificially help, and you don't do thought-out decisions. No, that's not where we're going here. But I do think sometimes we take ourselves so serious that we're afraid that we're going to make mistakes. Okay. Clarifying the vision. We got to learn to think a little bit different. We're not the local church down the road that does every single thing a little local church does. Our new season is we're an outreach center, but we contain a church. Okay? We're clarifying the vision. What are we? Okay? We are an outreach center. Salvation Army, in its origin, it's gone different directions over the years, but in its origin, the Salvation Army was an outreach center, okay? Salvation Armies in most towns had a church called the Salvation Army Church, but there was more to it than that. They were an outreach center, okay? God has taken us to a new level, a new season. We're an outreach center. But we contain a church that ministers to adults and youth every Wednesday night. The youth, and incidentally, had some very neat things happen. Recently, had a young girl that was totally unchurched, just totally give her heart to the Lord, and accepted the Lord. Kevin said something to me interesting the other day. He and Abby lead the youth. Be in prayer about that as we move toward their mission step. It's a burden I have. God does everything in his time. He said, Dad, it's interesting how we can see God in this whole outreach thing. He said, it's in every area. He said, I see it in Promised Land, the children, and I see it in the young people. He said, some of our own kids aren't coming regularly. But he said, these kids are showing up. We've never seen them before. Well, I know so-and-so, and they said something about you had something. Would you come? And then he said, sometimes we'll go pick them up. And he said, one night, of the 15 kids that were there, 8 of them, which is over half, don't come here to church. Outreach. I love it when God confirms in every area of the church what he's doing. We got to think a little bit different, clarifying. What are we? We're an outreach center, but we contain a church. Oh, my, we need the church. We need this morning. That we're meeting for church, ecclesia. We're meeting to fellowship. We have all the elements of a church. We are a church in that sense. We have all the elements of a church, community, hopefully compassion with each other, which I see a lot of, and we're working with all levels, ages, to the best we can with the help that we have. So we're an outreach center, but we are a church. Now, underneath that, if my little iPad would have done it, I'd have had some lines coming down like this from the Chapel Ministries Outreach. Underneath that, it contains a church, but we have these life sessions that we're doing, and we'll continue to develop these in the future. These are sessions to help people learn how to live. That was birthed out of 30 years of pastoring and seeing the need. I meet girls 28, 29, 30 years old at the rescue resort, 30 years old. Lynn, am I right or wrong? They don't know how to make a grilled cheese. And I'm not criticizing it. It makes you cry. I never will forget, and I won't say her name, but I never will forget the one girl that had baked cookies for the very first time, and she was 33. And she baked her first batch of cookies and hadn't had a good father figure, and I stopped over, and she reluctantly offered me some. They were wonderful. You know the raver that I am. I'm like, these are wonderful. These are good. And she about went to pieces. And she said, you like them? You do? Thank you. And it just made me cry to realize that someone 33 years old had never prepared something that someone else enjoyed. I suppose she's lived a life of criticism and slander, and so the least little bit of a compliment meant so much to her. And so asking Ellen to lead, and Pam's helping, and various ones to lead a cooking class, there's reasons for that. And I believe that'll develop more in the future, and I'll say something about that in a few minutes. But we're doing sessions, and that's why Vince is available on call for addictions and willing to lead a class if we have the participants, and we had classes from time to time. And that's why there's the class for developing women, and they're going through some Beth Moore series for hurting women and women who have been through difficult things, and I've heard good reports about that. And the marriage class, and the information's out there in the foyer, and we're open to what we'll do. The need is the call. Somebody can say, well, what sessions could you do? Bring somebody with interest and we'll do them. You know, I've had the idea of a finance class. I think people nowadays, I've learned over the years, they try to become a Christian, they haven't got a clue how to spend a dollar, how to spend $10. Their finances are absolute disaster. They're in debt up their eyeballs. They got credit card bills just unbelievable, and they don't really understand. Pam used to sit down at the rescue resort and try to help them work out a budget. So in the Christian walk, to faithfully serve the Lord, and these elements come into play, because if your personal life's a mess, it gives the devil advantage. We're not doing this because we're becoming a social club. We're doing it because we've recognized that when people's personal life is absolute chaos, it gives the devil an advantage. They want to give. They want to help in the ministry. They know that it's right, and they know that the Bible teaches tithing, and they know that blessing comes from that. They see it in the lives of other people. They see God bring blessings on their pastor when he does something a little extra, or their fellow churchgoer, but they don't have a clue of how to do their finances, and there isn't a chance of them getting things structured so that they can get things in order like it should be without some help. So, life sessions. The web ministry. I've had this on my heart for quite some time. We're going to be developing the web ministry. The messages have been audibly on the web for quite some time, chapelministriesoutreach.org, but I felt the need to expand that a little bit. And I'm going to take the Sunday sermons, and Brian and Allie Rao have a burden for this, and I've been just kind of waiting for the right connection and the right mixture. There's a lot of people who are willing to help if asked, but I've just kind of been looking for and saying, Lord, who's the right connection? And Brian and Allie are taking this media ministry, and we're going to take the Sunday message, and on Tuesday and Wednesdays, I'm not sure which day, it'll probably be Wednesday, I'm going to do a 15-minute clip for YouTube of the Sunday message. Cut out the intro, cut out the extras, and go to the meat of it. Most people who use those medias have ADD like me, and they don't do well with 45, 50 minutes. But I've actually practiced this, and my son Alan came and asked me to make a CD for him because he has an idea of something he wants to use, and I took the message, Lying to Yourself in Blindness. And you guys wouldn't believe it, but I cut it to 15 minutes. And I did, and God spoke to me, because I was negative about it. Alan wanted me to do it, but I was negative about it. I thought, I don't think I can get said. I won't get, that ain't time to get my juices flowing. No, but I was amazed, and God showed me, if I want you to do this, I can speak to you in 15 minutes just as well as I can 50. Now, if you get me to do that on Sunday morning, keep praying for me. Web ministry. We want to develop that. The rescue resort, we're hopeful to reopen. I'll say some more about that in a minute, before long. The Haiti outreach is under that. I want to say something about the Haiti outreach. And I think if we were in court, I'd have to plead guilty here. When I get excited about something, I want to explain myself to you. Here, you want to see my heart? Here it comes. When I get pumped about something, I talk about it. Don't let that frustrate you. Communication's my thing. I'm all about communicating. And I think, I don't know that anybody sitting here feels this way, but I've wondered even in the community a little bit, you know. Well, you've talked about this and talked about that and talked about this. Now he's talking about Haiti. What's it going to be next? I'm not deaf. What's it going to be next? I've been consistent. When we opened a rescue resort, I talked about it all the time, didn't I? Might as well shake your head this way. I don't defend myself very often, but Paul the Apostle did a couple times. I'm not as high ranking as he is. When we opened the rescue resort, I was fired up and talking about it. When you have a baby, you talk about it. When I was 28 years old, come on, God gave me this. Listen, when I was 28 years old and we had Tommy, Scott, and Alan, Kevin was born. Guess what? Everybody wanted to know about the new baby. When they called the house, they didn't say, how's Tommy, Scott, and Alan? They said, how big was the baby boy? How much did he weigh? What'd you name him? What's his middle name? It was the stir. We brought him home from the hospital in the house. Everybody stops in. Hi, Tom. Hi, Scott. How y'all doing? Where's the baby? There's the baby. When you have a baby, it's the topic of your conversation. And I'm going to defend myself on that. I've been consistent on that. When we started Promised Land 8 years ago, I took 3 months off and worked every day in there with a nail bag. Don Gibbs and I did all the wiring, so when those breakers popped, it's part of my fault. I was talking about the children's ministry. Getting with Chris, putting together a team. Some of those things that Chris laid out of that Promised Land is still following. Chris and I had private meetings and talked, and I asked him if he'd be interested in being the children's pastor, and he picked up a burden for that, and I was talking about it, why we were having a baby. When you have a baby, that's the topic of conversation. Well, God just added this to our outreach, but I love the rest of the kids. It ain't just Kevin when he was born. I love Tommy, Scott, and Alan, too. I love his congregation. I don't plan to run off and be a missionary and leave you guys. I'm interested in web ministry, but that wasn't just birthed. 2 years ago, I had that on my mind. But when you're having a baby, you're talking about it. It's the excitement. Everybody else is talking about the baby. So I think I needed to say that about the Haiti outreach. And I think that particular baby gets me cranked a little more because I felt my dad died with an unfinished vision. And I knew when he died he had a heartache that he hadn't finished something God had called him to do. I figured somebody would. I'm kingdom-minded. I don't think that'd be me. In fact, when he wanted me to be a missionary, I didn't want to. But God does everything in his timing. And God caused us, Howard, And we started putting this organization together, CMO. Skinner Chapel wasn't even incorporated, wasn't even recognized by the state. There's hundreds of country churches out here that aren't incorporated. And if they're ever audited, I don't know what they're going to do. It's just happened over the years. They're not incorporated. When we incorporated as CMO, and I felt God spoke to me and said, find a Christian attorney. And we did. And we like him very well. And he's on call for life for us. Get hooked up better with your accountant, because I'm going to umbrella you, and I'm going to do a lot of things under this, and you need to have things legally in order, because the government's going to get tighter. And I felt that. And we did some things and jumped through some hoops and had some meetings in the past that wouldn't have messed with. But we did it to get things in order, because we were birthing some things. And now it is that way, and it is in order. And when a mission organization comes along that needs help, and their buildings are run down, but they're 8,000 strong. The morning I spoke in Haiti in February at that conference, in an open air on wooden benches, there were 3,000 there that morning. In a three-hour service, and it was the second service. I spoke in the 10 o'clock service. They had one at 6. And some of them had walked up to 15 miles to be there. A passion for God, but lacked training. They consider me a theologian. I can teach them a lot. I'm certainly not that here in the States. So I felt like that came under our umbrella. So what are we? We're an outreach. We contain a church. But we have things under us, and we recently took on the Haiti outreach, and please don't be offended if I've talked about it quite a bit. We're having a baby. There's the Outspoken Biker outreach, and Bill, I don't know where that's going to go in the future and who God's going to bring in and what that's going to do and who that might be, but I know you carry a burden for that in that specific area. And I felt when we started, that's an element of society we need to reach out to, and I'm not sure where all that's going to go, but we talked about it a lot when it was first birthed, you know. We don't forget that. I was praying for your Bible study yesterday. So don't be thrown by my type of personality. And when we have a baby, I'm excited about it. The Lighthouse Youth Ministry, I don't know how many of you know, but what Chris and Yvonne Edgington have started in Bunker Hill. The Lighthouse Ministry, Chris is licensed under us. That's under our umbrella. He's legally with CMO. He's licensed by Chapel Ministries Outreach. Their funds are, we get reports from them regularly, and they're under our umbrella. In that youth ministry, and he's trying to buy Birdie's Tavern in Bunker Hill. And I'd like to see that expand. And I met with Chris a couple of weeks ago, and we're best of friends, and he was my assistant for years and years, and he said they run in about 25 kids every Wednesday night, some of them that don't have a home, and guess what they're doing? They have them come at 6, and they fix a meal for them, and they have a set-down meal. He's had 25 kids regularly coming, and they have a meal, and then they do a Bible study and activities afterwards. But he's under our umbrella. We got to think a little bit different. God's calling us into leading things and reaching out to others. Now, where's the future go with that? I'm open to a pastor that has no one to link with. You know, as long as he's a believer in Christ and the blood shed on Calvary and the one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. I don't know where that's going. Would God connect us with another foreign mission? I'm open to a missionary who has no one to link with. Maybe we're who they're looking for. We want to do sessions as we have leaders. And I have in capital letters a Promised Land outreach. I'd like to see us do an outreach for the children later on. I can't do that. What I do is give oversight. My role has changed. I'm more of a visionary. I'm an overseer. I'm a little guy, but can I use this example? Because I think you'll understand it. David Wilkerson was a pastor in Pennsylvania for years, and when he was a pastor, he was certain things. But when he became a head of Teen Challenge, which then became World Challenge, he was a director. That's what I'm doing. He was a director. He wasn't at every teen thing. He didn't run everything. He wasn't all down in this, down in this, down in this. You know, he maybe wasn't at the biker Bible study, or he wasn't over at the rescue resort, but he was giving oversight to that spiritually. And so my role has changed some in the new season. Now, I put that all up there so you can see it all at once. This won't take long, so don't think, good, night's 11:30, and look at what all stuff he's got up there. I'll go through this quick. Where are we going? Three phases. And like an old guy said, don't nail it down too tight. We want to make plans. Jesus said, it was Jesus who said, that a man doesn't go to build a tower without first counting the cost, figuring out what it's going to take and all of that. So, you know, depending on resources, depending on what, you know, things can be subject to somewhat of change, but this is where we're going. Three phases. In the next 6 months, Lord willing, now that we've defined what we are, we're an outreach center that contains a church. Under the umbrella of that outreach center and church is the web ministry, the Haiti outreach, the rescue resort, the biker ministry. Okay, you get it. All right, now, where are we going? In the next 6 months, July through December, I have three things there that are personal goals of mine that I feel like God has led me into sharing with you. Develop a solid church here, and I think we're doing that. I think we're becoming a solid church. When we first opened here, you know, you got to kind of figure out who's coming and who's going to be your people and your main people and who your leaders are, and it takes a little bit to do that. Birthing is a process. I don't want to wear you out, but birthing is a process. It takes a little time. So develop a solid church here with youth, Promised Land, and our adult ministry. Develop the web ministry. Been spending some time with Brian and Allie. Got going to turn this corner back in here to kind of a media center, and we're going to have a number of messages there and that you can get, and we're going to then move into the video area for YouTube and the web, and we want to kind of develop the web ministry. And here again, I'm giving oversight to that, but I'm not the one doing it all, okay? And then in this phase one, acquaint you with the Haiti outreach. We've started that already, but we're going to continue that. Pam and I are going to Haiti with Mark and Cindy Hardinger and Channy Mullins in August for 1 week. Kevin will be having the service that week. And then when we come back, September 6th, 7th, and 8th, we are hosting the Faith Missions Conference here. It's a great place to have that. Faith Missions is having their conference here. We've partnered with Faith Missions. We're kind of under our umbrella. We're taking on some missionary outreach. And Faith Missions is going to have their conference here. I'm excited personally about it. My sister Miriam and her husband from North Carolina are going to come. And my brother Jim, the pastor of the High, and his wife are coming and staying with us. We're going to have two Haitian pastors here that you're going to really like. And it's September 6th, 7th, and 8th. The purpose of that is to acquaint you with the Haiti outreach. Pam and Jeannie are working together. We're going to have a big map of Haiti on this wall. This will kind of be the missions wall, you know. We're an outreach center. That's one of our legs, okay? Okay, we've been talking about a lot lately because we're having a baby. But as we go along, we won't say as much, but it'll be just as important. Okay, so we want to acquaint you. So in the next 6 months, our plan is develop a solid church here, develop the web ministry, and acquaint you with the Haiti outreach, specifically by having the two trips and the and hosting the conference on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Okay, phase two, January to June, Lord, LW means Lord willing, in case you wondered. You'll see that in my notepad everywhere. January through June, we want to give Kevin and Abby and company, that's the three little guys, Kevin and Abby and company a good send-off as our missionaries. They're going to be going to Haiti for an initial run in Haiti to kind of get adjusted to Haitian life. So January through June, Kevin and Abby and company, a send-off as our missionaries. Then I'd like to, guys, are you ready? Get a hold of the, maybe you should get a hold of your wife's hand, maybe, for this. Remember the construction project we did last year here? We spent January, February, March, and April back here and put on the upstairs. I want to begin construction project at Old Skinner Chapel, or not the annex, but former church Skinner Chapel for the rescue resort. Pam and I have been over there. In the last few weeks doing some drawings and doing some figuring, and I'm excited about that. We want to reopen the rescue resort, hopefully, by May of next spring. Notice I have begin rescue resort staff and prayer meetings. So second phase, you know, we're birthing different things from this outreach. But January through June, specifically January and February, I want to reassemble the guys that helped on this project, and this is a much smaller project over here than what this was. So you can breathe easy. John, the furnace is already there, so and the air conditioning, and there's the buildings are there. It's just some changes to make, but trust me, we've been doing a lot of drawing. That Promised Land building can be turned into a nice ranch-style home, more simple than you think. And we're excited about that with an attached chapel and counseling rooms. Now, Lord willing, that says if somebody come along and donate a property to us that had a nice big home on it, hey, Lord willing, we're willing to change anything. But that's phase two of that. We want to do next year. And then phase three, June of next year, Lord willing, through December, the following 6 months, these are 6 month periods, I'd like then, once the rescue resort is open, I'd like then to begin really focusing on what God gave me in Colorado, that the overall purpose of this is outreach here. Need to get some things in place first, but I'd like to start our James outreach services. Go find James, remember that theme? And I'd like monthly to begin our outreach services and develop our sessions further, because I believe we're going to see converts from those services. And in that time period, I'd like to also develop a promised land outreach. I've had a burden for some time about bringing in some kids from the Chilai, Denver, Mexico area that don't have stable homes. And boy, that's not hard to find. And do more outreach to the children's ministry. We're not afraid to dream big. Not afraid to share a vision. We have to have resources. We have to have people willing to help to do those things. I feel like that God has clarified to me what I am supposed to do. I feel like God has clarified to me what I am supposed to do. There'll be some things, how far we go with it is dependent on you and those attached to the ministry. It's dependent upon you. And so the resources and the people, we're trusting God to bring that about. But on vision, I'm a visionary, and I believe that God has given me this in the next three phases. It's getting time to close, but I wanted you to see that. Hope that isn't too cluttered for you, but I kind of wanted you to see that all on one page to kind of get the idea of 6 months, 6 months, 6 months. Don't take offense at anything I've said. I know that everything we've done hasn't been as popular with everybody. I understand that. But an outreach center is different. You know, there's people that help with the Salvation Army, and in their roots, they were very much an outreach, and it's changed considerably in some towns, not all. There's some very godly men leading those churches and women, but, you know, there were things that they do that I personally wouldn't be that interested in. It isn't my passion. I think it's a good thing, but it's not my passion. So we do have to think a little different. We're not just the corner local church anymore. We're an outreach center that contains a church. And your thing may not be volunteering at the rescue resort. But you need to do something. You need to be involved in the kingdom. Maybe Haiti rings your bell and you want to say, hey, Tom, I know you're going to be going over there a week using vacation time to go over there and do projects. I want to help with that. Or maybe it's the men's ministry that you want to be helpful with. I talk about the adults. We're doing a number of different things. Maybe it's the men's ministry you're helping. So we're not upset at you if you're not all fired up about a certain thing. That may not be the area where you're passionate. But you need to be passionate about something. You need to be passionate about something. There needs to be something in the kingdom that gets a hold of your heart. And so I hope this morning hasn't been offensive in any way. I don't think it has been. My own heart doesn't seem like it has been. But I do think sometimes we don't realize things. The whole issue about talking about Haiti, I think sometimes, I had one person in the community that made the statement, you know, now lately all he's talking about is Haiti. And I'm thinking, that's not fair. Because when we were opening the rescue resort, that's all I was talking about. I'm an intense guy. And we were opening Promised Land, that's all I was talking about. Come on, you know me. I was talking about it all the time. If you were here at church during that time, you remember me always talking about the children's ministry. And it took 3 months off, and all I did was preach, and I helped to build the building because that's what we were birthing at the time. So I want to be sensitive to that. Plus, I want the freedom from you to do that. And when God lays on my heart to birth something that He's laid on my heart, I want the freedom from you to pursue that, not be apologetic, you know, if God's laid something on my heart. So hopefully that's people will share the CD. The number of people that aren't here this morning, it's definitely time to close. Thank you for your patience and for listening this morning. And I'll leave this up here for a little bit yet. So let's stand for prayer. Lord, thank you for each one here today. And Lord, thank you too. Some visitors today don't know all the reasons things go a certain way in a service, and I trust that those visiting today will take something away from here that will encourage their own heart. And Lord, if I've said anything today that is left or right or center, I believe that your Holy Spirit can cause that just to melt away. And I trust you and ask you to do that. And I pray very specifically that you'd use these things and help us to buy in. Hey, I'm in with this. There's been some changes, some can say, you know, and so I'm nervous about, you know. Lord, I think the enemy would use that. We're about the same thing we've always been about. When we started at Zion Chapel 30 years ago, we opened Kids Church 6 months after we took the church because there were needy kids in the neighborhood. So we've been doing the same thing consistently. Now there's some new methods and new ways to do it, and sometimes you need to get incorporated and give a name to an organization and do some things a little different, even legally. But we've been about the same thing from the start. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would help people maybe who are reluctant to recognize that, hey, this theme has been consistent from the start of reaching people. The songs this morning, Lord, thank you for the songs you put together due to our circumstances of the cross and starting over in your love. Guide us and direct us. Use us. Don't let us get out of your will or operate out of your will in any way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed.